Aleluya. The Lord is good. Amen. Thank God for that beautiful time of worship.
Amen.
Please, I want us to do something this morning before we hear the word. It's part of hearing the word. You're going to take someone and you're going to look to the eyeball of that individual and you're going to thank God for him or for her. You are going to get up from that seat where you are, look for somebody and pair up with that individual. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now you are going to point to that individual. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank God for your life. I thank God that God has made you part of the body of Christ and that you are my brother or my sister. Can we do that, please? Thank you. Let's do that. Thank you. And then we're going to thank God just for our thanksgiving. Thank God for that individual. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Kings. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Pick somebody. Look eyeball to eyeball. And thank God for that person. Thank God for that person. Hallelujah. Thank God that it's your brother, it's your sister. Thank God that he's a member of the body of Christ. And we're one.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Okay, we can return back to our seat. I want to appreciate the man of God and his wife. Thank you again for the privilege. Bless the name of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a story we know so well. And that's Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read quickly. Luke 17, I'm going to read from verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are they now? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise. Go your way, your faith has made you well or whole. Two more scriptures. Psalm 95, I read verses 2 and 3. Okay, let me take you from verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Amen.
Amen.
The next portion I want to read is Psalm 107. Psalm 107, I read verses 8 and 9. Oh, that men will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Hallelujah. This morning, we'll be sharing on the topic, having a thankful heart. Having a thankful heart. Father, we lean on you, Holy Spirit. We trust you at this very moment as we rely upon that which you supply. We ask, Lord, that you breathe upon us. We ask, oh God, that your word will come alive. You will give us a thankful heart. You will help us, oh God, to always be thankful, to always give thanks. Teach us, oh God, Lord, as we go into your word, go beyond what this vessel can explain. And let your name be glorified. Make your word clearer. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are so many reasons why we should, you know, be thankful or thank God. There are many reasons. Right? For the fact that we are alive this morning, for the fact that you are not in the hospital, I'm not in the hospital. Right? We are alive, we are in our right senses. We have been kept, we have been provided for. God has healed us. God has restored us, restored you. So many reasons why we should be thankful. So many reasons why we should give God the praise. Why we should thank him every day. The story of that 10 lepers cleansed, only one came back. Only one came back. He had a thankful heart. A heart that is grateful to the Lord. And, you know, for now, there are some right now at a war zone. They are there, but we are not there. There are some now are running enter scatter looking for protection. In fact, family divided into three because they have to run for, you know, for protection. Maybe the mother separated from the son or children and the husband elsewhere. God has kept us. We are not in a war zone. Hallelujah. We are not battling with terminal disease. Doctors are not saying, oh, we don't know the answer to this. And then they, you know, begin to use the individual to practice. We are not in that situation. Hallelujah. And we are not in the prison yet. Hallelujah. There are so many people who have been in prison for no reason. After 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, we have read news that some have been jailed innocently. 20 years later, they came out. We are not there. We have so many reasons to thank God.
Amen.
What about sleeping and waking up? Do you think it's a little miracle? It's not small. It's a big one.
Amen.
That we slept, we're able to wake up. We're in our right senses. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And more than that, we are so privileged, you know, to be in the position that we are in. You are not an ordinary person. You are the image of God. And we have been redeemed. Now the Bible says we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. It's a place of authority. It's a place where we demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. So many reasons. But I just want to limit everything to seven reasons why we should have a thankful heart. Why we should have a thankful heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number one, thanksgiving shifts the credit to God. When we are thankful, we are saying, Lord, the credit belongs to you. It takes the credit from us. Oh, it's because I woke up. It's because I went to work. That is why I earned that money. It's because I did this or I did that or my connection or my position. That is why I have this. No. Thanksgiving, when you give thanks to God, you are saying, Lord, the credit belongs to you.
Amen.
Because he did it. Hallelujah. The one leper came back. He came back to thank Jesus. He's not saying it's by chance. It's, you know, it's just something that happened. You know, just like that. It's not a by chance thing. Right? So many lepers in the time of Jesus, not all of them were cleansed. But this one was privileged, time were privileged to have been cleansed. But one came back. To say the credit belongs to you, Lord, and I give it to you. Whatever credit that belongs to God, to the Lord, give it to him.
Amen.
Give it to him.
Amen.
All right, don't look at what has not been done. So many things that have been done, we are not thankful about. So many things. Oftentimes, what we see are those things, those, you know, challenges, those problems, those unsolved issues. Those are the things that beclouds us, and we are not able to thank God enough. It's only because we don't know the secret behind thanksgiving. If we can thank God, you're going to see more. We're coming to that. So number one, we should be thankful. We should know when we do that, it shifts the credit from us to God. And because he's the only one that is worthy to receive the worship, to receive the thanksgiving. And look at it. Of all the people that were healed, Jesus made reference to that leper. He said, except this Samaritan, this foreigner, Samaritan, is the one that has a thankful heart. Oftentimes, believers, we take things for granted. And God is reminding us this morning that we should be thankful. We should be thankful. Number two, thanksgiving is a display of gratitude. That is, when we give thanks to God, we are displaying the ability, the quality of being thankful, the quality of saying, Lord, from my heart, from the depth of my heart, I say, Lord, you are worthy. So it's a display. You can say, well, God knows I'm thanking him. I'm giving thanksgiving every day, but I don't have to say anything. The one you don't verbalize, the one you don't share, the one you don't say out, is not thanksgiving. It's just in your heart. That leper came to Jesus and said, thank you in worship. There must be words that to follow your action. So it's not just, Lord, I'm grateful in my heart, you understand? God, you know I'm thankful. No, you should say something. We should say something to the Lord. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for preserving me. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me victory over sin, over the flesh, over the world. Thank you for various provisions, right from my birth to this very moment. Many, many dangers that would have swallowed us. Many pits that the enemy dug that would have fallen in. But God, in his own mercy, kept us. So we should display that gratitude by saying something. Say, Lord, we love you. I know we do it here, but God is reminding us. Maybe individually, maybe in our families, we should not allow issues to becloud us so that, you know, we don't see reasons or to thank him enough. Sometimes God even gives instruction. Praise me. Thank me. We do it for 1 day, 2 days. We forgot it. Because the third day, an issue came up. May the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number three, thanksgiving displays humility. Thanksgiving displays humility. You know, it's a display of our humble spirit. All we are saying is that I do not deserve this love. I do not deserve this mercy. I do not deserve this forgiveness. I do not deserve this that God has showered upon me and my family. Lord, what a great, great love you have shown me. So when we give thanks, when we give thanks or appreciate God, what we are doing is in humility, we surrender to him because we are not worthy. He did not give us what we deserve. What we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is hellfire. What we deserve is the enemy, allowing the enemy to afflict us. But he didn't allow that. He gave us what we do not deserve. Mercy. Mercy. Provision. Protection. Hallelujah.
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 That's Psalm 95. Going back there to Psalm 95. that we read earlier on. Say, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. So when we come before this great King above all gods in thanksgiving, what we are saying is, I'm not a small God that doesn't want to bow to the living God. I surrender my kingdom. I surrender everything about me to you, Lord, in humility. And I praise your wisdom. I praise your love and your mercy over my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God should begin to teach me. I'm praying that. God, teach me, oh God, to learn to thank you. You know, there are some of us, maybe I'm one of them. There are so many songs I don't know how to sing. Alright? It's part of worship, it's part of thanksgiving, but I'm learning them. You know, because you have to verbalize what is in your heart. I'm looking at you now, I don't know what is in your heart, but when you say something, I say, no, Emmanuel, I thank God for your life, then I know what is in your heart. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But looking at you, I don't know what is in your heart. It is by, you know, verbally expressing what is within us. So thanksgiving cannot be hidden, cannot be something that is not verbalized. It should be something that we speak out or we sing it out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In humility. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because we are going to pray after, so I'm rushing. Number four. Thanksgiving is placing God at his rightful position. Or let me put it this way. Thanksgiving is enthroning God. You put God on the throne. He's always on the throne. But God is not on the throne of many, many hearts. Yeah, there are some hearts. They say, God, you do your own thing. I am doing my own thing. But when you give thanks to God, you are saying, Lord, I enthrone you. I enthrone you as the God of gods, as the God over my life, as the one that is on the throne, as the one that has been and will be and will ever be. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And when you give thanksgiving to God, you enthrone him how? Or who is? You enthrone him as the rightful position as our benefactor. Your benefactor. My benefactor. He has blessed us with so many things. With the goodness of life. He has blessed us. The most important of all is our salvation. Do you know what it means? The Bible says that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus said somewhere, no man can go to a strong man's house without first of all doing what? Binding the strong man, then he can spoil his house. But without the strong man being bound, there's no way you can attack. If you want to try that, you'll be dealt with. So the strongest of all men, the strongest man that ever lived, entered into the den of the devil, the kingdom of darkness, when he died. He died and he went right there. No one would have done that. He went right there into Hades and he took the keys out of his hands. From that moment, as many as we believe in him, automatically, when you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, something miraculous happens. Something unique takes place. And that is a spiritual thing that happens. There will be automatically a transfer. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The name of everyone that is not born again is written in the book of judgment, hell. As soon as the person is born again, there is a transfer right there immediately. The name is transferred into the book of life. It's wonderful, and that is what God has done for us through his son. So he's our benefactor. And we are the beneficiaries of his goodness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the giver of all good things. And we are the beneficiaries of his generosity. Psalm 145 verse 16 says, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Psalm 103, 1 to 5, which we know very well. I'm going to read it. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is where? Within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not three of his benefits." Oh, okay. "And forget not 20 of his benefits." Okay. "And forget not all of his benefits." Hallelujah. "Who forgives all your iniquity." That's the first thing.
Jesus. Thank you.
Before we begin to enjoy sound health, using the name of Jesus for victory, or getting the best from the kingdom of God, salvation first. Salvation first. That is the greatest of all. And that's why salvation remains the greatest miracle. The changing of the heart of man. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and full of all deceit. Who can know it? Jeremiah 7:10. God says, "I, the Lord, I search the heart. I know the intent of the heart of man." So for a man to have that surgical operation spiritually is the greatest of all. So he said, the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity." Now, he did not only forgive us when we repented and became a Christian and were transferred into the kingdom of God, but thereafter, you know what grace does? Grace and the mercy of God keeps on moving. Alright? Until we see Jesus, we'll be experiencing what is called, we have been saved, we are being saved. Continuous cleansing, sanctification, salvation. And that is why a man, a woman, a brother, a sister that is born again still need the washing of the blood on a daily basis. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's not being counted against him. As long as you go back to that blood and you plead that blood. Amen.
Amen.
That is what we enjoy. The name of Jesus, because of our position, privileged position in Christ. The name of Jesus, the blood, the cleansing blood. And what that blood is doing for us is speaking on behalf of believers. It's speaking on behalf of your hope. It's speaking on behalf of your destiny. There are so many things we don't know to pray about. There are so many things we don't know that is happening in the spirit realm. But God, because you have Jesus, your advocate, my advocate, your benefactor, my benefactor, is doing something 24/7 every day. He's praying for you.
Hallelujah.
He's praying for me.
Amen.
And he's asking the Father that you might keep him, keep her, help
Amen.
Him. Just
Amen.
As Jesus physically prayed for Peter so that it will not become a prey to the devil. God is doing the same thing through Jesus for each one of us.
Thank you.
The Bible says that the accuser of brethren goes before God, right?
Yes.
Alright. But then we also have our benefactor, our advocate, who stands there to nullify every accusation. Hello, somebody?
Hello.
So, our God, through Christ, is there to make each one of us experience the benefit that comes, that follows salvation. Say, who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Brethren, we have the opportunity to claim what has been given to us. We can be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We can be delivered from whatever name of sickness, just mention it. God can choose to do it instantaneously. Sometimes it could be progressing. And sometimes God will use, thank God for the medical personnel, the doctors and nurses, to be able to diagnose something and then they make prescription. Overall, if God will not heal, no tablet will heal. If God will not heal, there is no medication that will cure. So people care, but God cures. Healing, ultimate healing, is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Very soon we begin to, it's a prayer in this house that we begin to see signs and wonders happen.
Amen.
You know why? It is our bread.
Yes, Lord.
It is the prayer for the children of God. Remember when that woman went, she came to Jesus. She was not a Jew, all right? And then asked Jesus to heal my daughter. And Jesus said, you know what? You are looking at you. It is not right. That's the way Jesus put it. It's not right to take the children's meat and toss it to dogs. Wow. Children's meat is healing. Children's meat is to be healthy. Children's meat is to be alive and alert. So if there is anything contrary to that, you stand against it. We rebuke it and we keep on standing and claiming our healing until it is effected.
Amen.
Physically.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, this a testimony is not too big, but it's also big. It's a way to silence the devil. For 3 weeks, I had a big boy at my back. And those of us who pray, we pray together here, you must have seen something that swelled, got swollen on my back. My shirt would just go up there. That thing just started developing. I was wondering, what is this? Praying over it and praying over it before we know what was happening. It swelled to the extent, very painful, very, very painful. And that thing, as God would have it, it was because the devil was telling me, you know what? That thing will never heal. But you see, when I was praying, God gave me a revelation that the mouth closed. The hole was very big. So when the thing burst, the hole was very big. And the devil was saying, it's not going to heal. It's not going to heal. And I was telling the devil, no, you're a liar. I received my healing by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So one of the days when I was praying, the Lord, I wasn't sleeping. The Lord opened my eyes. I told my wife about it. The Lord opened my eyes and I see the boy. And that big hole closed.
Mm.
I saw it before it happened. I said, thank God. I started to claim it, I stand upon it, I keep on claiming it and receive it. A week later, this wound started closing.
Jesus.
So, since yesterday was the last time I ever put plaster there. Or, treatment, because the mouth has closed.
Hallelujah!
The mouth has closed.
Hallelujah!
You might say that's a small thing. I tell you, some people can get that kind of wound and have infection in their body.
Amen.
So the Lord is the great physician.
Amen.
He heals.
Hallelujah.
He delivers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory. So anytime you enthrone Him, you are saying, Lord, you are my benefactor. And I'm the beneficiary of all the goodness that comes from your presence. So that's Psalm 103 back there. It says, who heals all your diseases?
Yes.
That's not the only thing it does. Who redeem your life from what? Destruction.
Amen.
How many times we're on the road?
Amen.
You know you are doing the right thing on the right road. All of a sudden, somebody, run across you. Or somebody made a mistake that would have cost your life.
Mm.
But God has delivered us from so many, many destructions. So many destructions. How many people have died as a result of misuse of medication? I'm talking about right medication. It was prescribed. But then, only to discover that the thing was working in a contrary way. So many people have taken such and they are gone. But the Lord has kept us. There are so many dangers around us that you can't just overlook. God has been so faithful.
Yes, He has.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we must be thankful.
Hallelujah.
We must be thankful.
Hallelujah.
Because our God is a great God.
Amen. Glory to you.
Amen.
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 Number 5. Thanksgiving opens for us a continuous thanksgiving. Let me put it this way. Thanksgiving backs more thanksgiving. Thanksgiving backs more thanksgiving. When you thank God, when you thank God for all that you know and all you don't know, everything about Him, you are just opening the door for more thanksgiving. Because that way, it becomes pregnant, give birth, you know, and then maybe two of them are, you know, get pregnant, they're giving birth. Before you know what is happening, your right, your left, everywhere, you are experiencing what? Reasons to thank God,
yes.
Because they are now multiplied.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
This has a more reason why we have to be grateful, why we have to thank God. That man came back. The leper came back, the one out of nine, and thanked Jesus and bowed before him and worshiped him. And Jesus recognized, were there not ten? Where are the nine? And because he came back to thank Jesus, Jesus told him, arise. Your faith has made you whole. Arise. You have been made whole. In one word, wholeness is not just healing. Not just physical healing. It's just part of it. Wholeness means that kind of thing will never come back. That means the body becomes, you know, become toxic to that kind of sickness or any other sickness. What Jesus said is that both your body and your soul is made well. So he got salvation in addition to his healing. He got total wholeness. There are so many people, they are physically healed, but spiritually, they are yet to be touched.
Jesus.
And that is why we must begin to pray for harvest. We are praying for harvest. Lord, there are a lot of people in our environment, a lot of people in our community, a lot of people where you live, alright, that needs that wholeness, the spiritual wholeness. They need the touch of God.
Yes.
Their eyes need to be opened. They need to know that any man that is not in Christ is sick.
Amen.
Any man that is not in